Welcome to a special edition of the Bioethics Channel, examining the uncertainties around the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Joining us now is Dr. Bridget McCandless, the medical director of the Shared Care Free Clinic of Jackson County, Missouri. Dr. McCandless, as you look at the Affordable Care Act, what are your hopes and what are your concerns?
Well, as you know, the way that we finance medical care right now for vulnerable populations is really confusing to most people. So I always think that it's helpful to begin with a little bit of background. I think everybody's familiar with Medicare. Medicare is a program that takes care of people who are older than 65. It also takes care of people who are totally and permanently disabled for more than 2 years. And that's an important population because they tend to be very expensive. It's one that we have not spent a lot of time talking about, but when we talk about the Medicare system, they're one that's important to pay attention to. The other system is Medicaid, and Medicaid takes care of people who are low income. And it's worth reviewing that because I think there's a lot of confusion about Medicaid. Medicaid covers people who are poor and pregnant, poor and children, poor and blind, poor and elderly, and poor and disabled. And nowhere in there did I say poor and sick, because poor and sick have nothing to do with Medicaid. So right now, for the average person who is low income but has medical problems like diabetes or high blood pressure or even previous heart attack or stroke, those people do not qualify for Medicaid unless they have been declared disabled by the state. So with the Affordable Care Act, the way that would change would be that we would make decisions about Medicaid based entirely on people's income, so that you could be perfectly healthy and working and also have Medicaid coverage. From my standpoint, this makes an awful lot of sense. It doesn't make sense to me that we would wait until people become completely disabled to then begin taking care of them. People who are disabled obviously have stopped paying taxes, have a harder time engaging in society for the reasons that they're disabled. It makes sense to me that we would want to take care of people so that they can remain actively working and for the many years that they would have to do that in the future.
So from your perspective, the idea of the Affordable Care Act, the aspect of it where more people will be covered, though not all will be covered, that is something that kind of weaves into what you're thinking about, but not completely. Am I hearing you correctly?
Well, there are currently 770,000 people in the state of Missouri who are uninsured. The Affordable Care Act would cover 255,000 of those through a Medicaid expansion. And for the first several years, that Medicaid expansion is paid entirely by the federal government. And after that, the state has a small but increasing share of what it would cost to cover those folks. Then there's another, around 250,000 people who would purchase into the health insurance exchange. Now, they would pay based on their income for affordable health insurance. And this would act like any other insurance product. You would take it to whatever physicians or hospitals participate in it. It would be a card. It would look just like any other insurance card and operate the same way. So you would be able to take in the state of Missouri and decrease our uninsured by around 70%.
Are you in a position where you're planning for all scenarios, full implementation of the Affordable Care Act, full repeal, or what some are calling repeal and replace? And none of those are solid or certain at this point, but they're all possible. So are you in a position where you're planning for all those scenarios?
I would say yes and no. The yes is that we have thought through all of those scenarios. The no is that the spectrum that covers is so enormous that the real practicality of planning for, in my case, my free clinic serves uninsured people, and the majority of them would become Medicaid eligible. So the spectrum of everything from repeal to full implementation is repeal would mean many more uninsured, which would probably double the number of people seeking my care, to full implementation, where I lose 85% of my patients, and I'm saying lose them with joy that they would be able to move on to another form of health insurance. The repeal and replace is, I think, the one that is the most difficult because no one can really envision what the new fabrication would look like. Right now, repeal actually would have implications for my clinic. We've seen a lot of patients be able to be absorbed back onto their parents' health insurance. So those would be adults under the age of 26 who have been able to maintain insurance through purchase of with their parents' health plan. And so all of those people would come back immediately. A lot of them are type 1 diabetics who have, a normal life expectancy but expensive medical needs. But there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to work for their full number of years as long as they get the medications they need and regular medical care. Repeal and replace could come in so many different varieties that I couldn't even begin to speculate on what that could look like. Full implementation is itself really complicated, but I think has a lot of potential for the state of Missouri, both in creating a healthier workforce, but also in bringing in additional jobs to the state, as well as federal funds that would be an enormous revenue booster to the state of Missouri.
What are your colleagues in the safety net community saying and focusing on at this point?
I think right now they are working really hard on meeting the increased demand that we're all faced with. Certainly more employers are having to question whether they can continue full benefits, and so we've certainly seen more people showing up who are the new uninsured, either because their company quit providing health insurance, or they could no longer afford it on their salary. But more than that, we're seeing people who have lost their jobs and lost their insurance with that. And so there's a whole group of new uninsured who are entering the safety net system. You know, there's all kinds of changes inside of the healthcare system, both with the structure and funding, but also with the way care is administered. So changes in the information technology side, where more and more institutions and doctors' offices are trying to move to electronic medical records, figuring out how we share that electronic information across institutions, looking hard at our processes to be sure that what we're providing is really high quality care, even in our very challenging population. Our population requires additional services than even a regular doctor's office. Sometimes our patients need interpreters. Sometimes our patients have very complex social needs, which can make delivering care even more difficult. I'll tell you that I never want to have to grow up to be a diabetic because it's an awful lot of work. That being said, I really, really don't want to have to be a diabetic who doesn't have a stable place to live because not having adequate refrigeration, knowing where your meals are coming from, having the stability to test your sugars regularly, all of those things have profound impact on your health and well-being. So I would say that the safety net continues to really deliver excellent care to a really challenging group of patients. It's very rewarding and probably makes a bigger impact than medical care to a very well and healthy and educated population. So you have all of those challenges, and then fitting around that is the uncertainty of the Affordable Care Act. So I'll say that everybody's definitely staying on their toes, trying to pay attention to what's happening, and doing their best to remain very viable and vibrant organizations while they figure out what these new changes are going to mean for them.
What are your constituents telling you, the patients who come to you for health care?
My patients have a really short time frame, and after kind of the first 2 weeks of big splash, they haven't really paid much attention to what's going on, mostly because the stressors and strains of just making it through the next pay period are so much that they don't have the time or energy to focus on the political football that healthcare has become. I think mostly they're making sure that they do their very best to take care of themselves so that they do not get sick and incur costs that they can't afford. And mostly trying to stay as healthy as they can be so they can go to work every day. So that's where the patients have been focusing most of their energy. It's surprising how few questions I get about the Affordable Care Act.
What if the Affordable Care Act is implemented in full? I get the impression from what you said earlier that the future of safety net clinics might change and that almost you'll be working your way out of a job.
Well, remember that safety nets come in multiple flavors. They serve different populations. They serve different groups of patients based on payer base. So even though the payer may change, there's still certainly going to be the need for safety net providers who work especially with Medicaid populations. The other is that safety nets have a specialty. We specialize in poverty medicine, and that is its unique specialty. I consider it just like cardiology or GI medicine or pulmonology. Any of those have their own disease sets and their own sets of outcomes for their patients. We're very, very good at dealing with challenged populations and helping them to do their best. So regardless of kind of the flavor of the way things are funded, I think there'll still be a place for people who are good at and who excel at poverty medicine. So will we adapt? Absolutely. Will poor people go away? No. So I think that there's still going to be a very vibrant and probably growing place for those who do medical care for vulnerable populations.
Dr. Bridget McCandless is the medical director of the Shared Care Free Clinic of Jackson County, Missouri. Thanks for your time and good luck.
Thank you very much.
I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.